First time that I have been to a Boost retreat, and I wish it wouldn't be, but it is good to be together. I love what this retreat is about, what so many of your businesses are about, and the reason that you're here is to ensure that your faith and the work that you do intersect, that those aren't two different things. You believe what you do is a tangible expression of your faith, and that's important and it's powerful. In fact, I would argue that it's completely unhelpful and unbiblical and unchristian to distinguish between faith and work. What we work and how we work is an expression of our faith. And, you know, Scott mentioned that I was a pastor, and it's true. I still feel like a pastor at heart. I stepped into the role of president at Rosedale Bible College, where it's our passion to prepare people to be useful in the kingdom. And when I say that, I don't mean just to prepare people to be useful pastors or useful missionaries overseas in some cross-cultural context, but useful business people, useful workers, useful mothers and fathers and teachers and all kinds of people. And so I love what this is about. Now, I'm convinced that when men and women of God understand why they get up in the morning and build whatever it is they're building, and do it in a way that mirrors how God would do it in the world, you get a joyful and passionate people. This morning and tomorrow morning, I want to go back, all the way back, a long way back to the beginning, and reflect on two important realities of our work as the people of God. And I hope as we spend just a few minutes together that your soul is encouraged and that you feel a warmth toward God, sort of first things drawing us into remembering what we're about and why we're about it. So let me remind you why we do what we do this morning with two short verses from the book of Genesis. From Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, here's the first verse. Then God said, after he had created the rest of the world, he said, let us make man in our image, men and women, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So here's the key thought. In the beginning, God created the entire world, and then he puts us in it in order to reflect his character throughout the world and reflect his purposes throughout this incredible world that he created. That's what he created us for. So you're alive, and you're here, and you're sitting in your rows in tables underneath this hotel because you have been created to live as though God was living in the world. Every time you make a decision in your work, in your family, in your community, That decision is the decision that Jesus would make, you live out the very purpose for which God created you. The opposite is true too. In your business, in your family, in your community, when you make decisions that are not the decisions Jesus would make, there's a tension because you're not being true to the way you were created to function. So our purpose for existence is to mirror Jesus, who is God himself, to this world. That's your purpose for existence. And when we step outside that purpose, we face tension in our lives. But here's the second thing. The world was made for us to build and create and nurture. And I don't know that I've always believed that. So, and let them have dominion of the fish and the birds and livestock and over all the earth. When God formed us, his intent was that we would make something of the world. Don't buy that? Let me share a statement from chapter 2 of Genesis where human creation is described in a bit more detail. Now, this is right before God creates the first human, Adam, and here's the description of the world. When no bush, this is verse 5, no bush of the field was yet in the land, and no small plant of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the land, and there was no man to work the ground. In other words, there were things that were supposed to happen that had not yet happened because humanity hadn't arrived. And the thing that was intended to happen is that the earth would be used and tended to and caused to prosper. You were made for this world, to work in this world. From the very beginning, it's part of being human. And here's why I say that. So it's easy in the 21st century to look around and think to ourselves, my goodness, humans are an enormous headache in this world. If we didn't exist, wouldn't it be so much better for our world, for our environment? I mean, just up the road a little bit, the Cuyahoga River in the 60s became so polluted from industrial waste that it literally caught fire and caused nearly $100,000 worth of damage to a couple of bridges on the river. I was reading recently about the nuclear meltdown in Fukushima in 2011, and that place is still a disaster. In fact, to try to contain all the nuclear waste, the Japanese built a pipe system that's a mile long and 100 feet deep. Every 3 feet, there are these huge pipes in which they run coolant around this to literally freeze the ground around this power plant so that the nuclear waste doesn't leach out into their water system. And it's an enormous headache. And they're talking decades to clean this all up. So we read about that stuff, and then I think about, you've probably heard about this enormous garbage patch out in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, miles, miles and miles of our plastics just sort of collecting out in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, affecting marine life, toxins getting into fish that they're catching all over the world. You hear about that stuff, and it's tempting to think, my goodness, if we weren't around to mess up this pristine place that God created. So how exactly does that reality square with the truth of our existence that we just read about in Genesis? The fact that God's saying, no, this world is for you and for your work. And there are things that haven't been built and accomplished within the world because humanity hasn't touched it yet. How do we square those things? So we're made for this world, and this world is made for us. Let me share a couple of other things with you. In a piece published in The Atlantic a number of years ago, scientists made the startling discovery that much of the Amazon rainforest exists because it was carefully created by people groups who managed the soil and managed the plant life in that region centuries ago. Isn't that amazing? The islands of Britain are another example of how humans have tended creation well, at least portions of it. The original form of British vegetation was essentially oak forest, and there weren't many species of birds or wildlife present on the British Isles. But when farmers came and the land was cleared and hedges were planted and all kinds of crops were planted, over time, the islands became an incredibly important migratory stop for birds. And to this day now, the British Isles are teeming with all kinds of bird species that were not there a long time ago. So what am I getting at? Well, it was God who made clothes for humans. It was God who instructed Noah to build this massive ship. It was God who gave instructions to people to build a temple. It is God who describes his kingdom in the form of a city. God made us to create and to work and to build culture. And your presence here is not intended to be a disruption of God's design. In fact, your businesses, when they are managed and carried out in a manner that God himself would manage and carry them out, is a blessing to the earth and to the people of the earth. The world was created to receive what you have to offer. What you're doing when you create and build things that serve other people is sacred work. And when you do it in such a way that it reflects the image and character of God in the world, it profoundly affects the world for good. It's one of the ways God's redeeming the world. So, tomorrow morning, I want to think about what it is that can distort our work and vocation and twist it and cause harm to other people. But for this morning, I want you to know and to remember as we talk about this holy thing of business that you were made to be here and made for this, reflecting the image of God in the world and contributing to the flourishing of this world. And when you live wholly committed to Jesus and his purposes, you cause your corner of the world to prosper. You really do. And that kind of work is noble work. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful. Grateful to you for our existence. Grateful to you for our redemption through Jesus. Grateful that you've given us imaginations, you've given us drive, you've given us creativity to build things in this world, and that you want to bless those things. God, we pray that your image in us wouldn't be distorted. We don't want to harm what's here. We don't want to harm people around us. And where we are, would you bring that to our attention? I ask your blessing on this morning as we seek to honor you in the work that you've given us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.